Driver here, and welcome to episode number 2 of Dad Gone Wild podcast. I appreciate all the feedback I got on the last episode, and I sure hope you noticed an improvement going forward in this one. There's been a big learning curve in putting this project together, but I'm committed to making this the best podcast possible. A lot going on education-wise right now across the country, so let's dive in without further ado. We'll start off this week with some national issues. First up, Betsy DeVos is finding that being Secretary of Education isn't going to be any easier than getting confirmed was. Last week, she went to visit District of Columbia's Jefferson Middle School Academy. She had a very difficult time getting into the school due to the presence of protesters that briefly prevented her admittance. After her visit, she stood on the steps and pronounced the school as awesome. A couple days later, upon reflection, I guess she found it to be a little less awesome. In an interview with conservative online publication Town Hall, she told a columnist about teachers, "They're waiting to be told what they have to do, and that's not going to bring success to an individual child. You have to have teachers who are empowered to facilitate great teaching." Seeing as DeVos has never taught in a public school, it's not surprising that that comment was not well received. School's teachers took to Twitter to respond. "We're about to take her to school," the first of 11 rapid-fire tweets said. The tweet storm singled out teachers like Jessica Harris, who built Jefferson's band program from the ground up, and Ashley Shepard and Brittany Lochner, who not only teach students ranging from a first to eighth grade reading level, but also maintain a positive classroom environment focused on rigorous content, humor, and love. They aren't waiting to be told what to do. Unfortunately, DeVos is just the latest in a long line of people willing to make pronouncements about teachers without ever walking in their footsteps or having meaningful conversations with them. I think we should change Teacher Appreciation Day to Talk with a Teacher Day. So instead of just buying trinkets for teachers and saying you like them, you have to actually go in and talk to them about what goes in the classroom in a daily basis. Remember how I told you last episode how it was silly to introduce a voucher bill this year at the state level because President Trump had voucher plans? Well, it didn't take long for those plans to start to hatch. Congressman Steve King, a Republican from Iowa, has introduced H.R. 610, titled Choices in Education Act of 2017. The bill does two things: establishes a nationwide voucher program and tinkers with the school lunch regulations. The bill establishes an education voucher program through which each state shall distribute block grant funds among local educational agencies, LEAs, based on the number of eligible children within each LEA's geographical area. From these amounts, each LEA shall 1. Distribute a portion of funds to parents who elect to enroll their child in a private school or to homeschool their child, and 2. To do so in a manner that ensures that such payments will be used for appropriate educational expenses. To be eligible to receive a block grant, a state must 1. Comply with education voucher program requirements, and 2. Make it lawful for parents of an eligible child to elect to enroll their child in any public or private elementary or secondary school in the state or to homeschool their child. No Hungry Kids Act, the bill repeals a specified rule that established certain nutrition standards for the national school lunch and breakfast programs. In general, the rule requires schools to increase the availability of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains and low-fat or free-fat milk in such meals, reduce the levels of sodium, saturated fat, and trans fat in school meals, and meet children's nutritional needs within their caloric requirements. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid. Do you still have those numbers on speed dial from when you were calling your congressman about DeVos? Time to break them out again, because this could be devastating to public education. The voucher program portion is bad enough, but for the life of me, I can't understand why you'd want to get rid of healthy lunches, though it would allow for us to bring back gruel for our kids. Proponents argued that it will prevent the confiscating of brought-from-home lunches that don't meet guidelines and may also override the peanut butter bans in place in many schools. Because you know, nothing quite says America like making sure that you can bring a peanut butter sandwich to school despite the potentially deadly risks to others. Looking at things on the state level, Tennessee Education Association released a poll that clearly shows Tennesseans do not support vouchers. Of the 6,510 respondents, 59.5% rejected private school vouchers, 29% approved. The 2-to-1 negative opinion was consistent across geographic and demographic groups. The polling margin of error is plus or minus 4%. I've never seen such a strong negative opinion. It is clear Tennesseans do not like or want school vouchers, said Jim Rye, TEA Government Relations Manager. We are a conservative state that values our local traditions and institutions. Vouchers are a radical idea that attack and weaken the foundation of our communities, our public schools. TEA is presenting facts to people who are uninterested in facts. Defeating voucher legislation this year is going to be extremely difficult. My only hope is that Tennessee legislators won't rush off to put Tennessee taxpayer money at risk instead of being prudent and waiting for money from the feds. Also up this week is an innocuous-sounding bill from Representative Dave Hawk, a Republican from Greenville, and Senator Mark Norris, a Republican from Collierville, which aims to establish charter schools statewide. You might be thinking, don't we already have that? We do. But here's the reality on this bill, per my good friend Andy Spears of the Tennessee Ed Report, which if you don't read regularly, you should. The bill is a rewrite of the current charter law. The big change is the creation of the Charter School Facility Slush Fund. The governor is dedicating $6 million to charter school facilities this year, but the bill makes clear the state intends to dedicate more money going forward to charters for facilities. And yes, charter schools can already apply and have in districts outside of the priority schools. Cheatham County, Robertson County, Alcoa. Money will be diverted away from our public schools. Remember, charter schools are not held to the same standards as our public schools, so claiming success and claiming a bigger chunk of the pie becomes a lot easier. Couple this with the fact that the state now has an official charter zone with Green Dot and KIPP scheduled to open during the 2017-28 school year. Yeah, I'll let you do the math. Lastly, in state news, TREE co-founder Lynn Hoyt has been chosen to lead a new group focused on community schools. Having worked closely with Lynn for the last 5 years, I can attest there is nobody better to lead this initiative. She will lead Tennessee Aeros to strengthen public school advocacy by recruiting alliance members that will support schools and districts committed to the creation of transformational community schools. A community school is both a place and a set of partnerships between the school and other community resources. It is a stakeholder model created by the school and the community. Some of the student needs might include improved health with a donated dental visit, access to enrichment, tutoring, or even access to food and clean clothes. Public and private partnerships shape these services. This is a model that meets kids and their families where they live.
Thank you for waiting, ladies and gentlemen. We've invited the first class. Now we're inviting the executive class.
Locally, it was traveling time for MNPS representatives as Chief Academic Officer Monique Felder took a collection of 11 representatives down to Amelia Island for the Scholastic Reading Summit. Attendees stayed at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. According to the website, Scholastic Education is a leading provider of comprehensive literacy solutions, reinforcing student achievement through instructional reading and writing, professional learning for teacher effectiveness, and family and community engagement. In the past, national schools have utilized Scholastic services on a limited basis. However, with the arrival of new superintendent Sean Joseph, they've seen their imprint grow. Rumor has it they are poised to play an even larger role in the district this summer and going forward. Now, this is kind of interesting because their methods run counterintuitive to the Reading Recovery Program, which was funded last year with an extra $6 million from Metro government. Furthermore, Scholastic points to Houston Independent School District as their signature success story, and if you're talking to various individuals, it's not quite clear that their work there has been as successful as portrayed. I'd keep an eye on this one. That about does it. I promise lots more local stuff in the next episode, especially since we're getting close to budget time. I don't want to scare anybody, but I'm betting on a proposed budget of $1 billion based on the things that I'm hearing. I encourage you to check out my blog, Dad Gone Wild, if you don't already. It's where we look at a lot of these issues a lot closer and offer up more collaborating information. Once again, thank you to all the teachers and administrators that do the heavy lifting every day. You truly are heroes. I don't know where you get the strength. You can send all feedback to norinran10@me.com. That's norinran10@me.com. Or check me out on Twitter at norinran10. Until next time, I'll see you later.